Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That didn't sound quite right, Limits, but as I look across from me, there are Dan and Bob, if you're watching on the YouTube station, channel, I should say. Watch us on YouTube, please. You can watch the whole show, and you can see the incredible cardboard cutout of Bob, an armless Bob Pompiani sitting next to Dan Zangrilli. Dan, how are you?
I'm well, and you?
We're doing well.
Bob?
This is distracting to me, but
why?
You Limits, you've become brilliant at those drops. Really, your timing is impeccable.
I take great pleasure in finding the right times to put them in.
I commend you on that. Sports Talk on the Fan, presented by Paramount Plus. Sylvester Stallone is back in the original hit series Tulsa King. This season, Dwight faces his most dangerous adversaries yet, forcing him to fight for everything he's built and to protect his future. Watch the new season of Tulsa King, now streaming exclusively on Paramount Plus.
Who's your most dangerous adversary, if I may?
Probably Mackie. How about you? You?
Apparently Clint Hurdle.
Yeah. That was wild last week. Was there feedback on that?
A little bit. I think we raised some eyebrows.
Yeah, from Clint himself?
No. No, yeah. Just ask him. He doesn't listen to anything. He tunes it all out. At least that's what he said 10 years ago.
Limits, this is incredible.
Anyway,
very
Clint
much
Hurdle's
so.
Story has continued into this week. Don't invite these two guys to the same party. Not Dan and Pomps. Clearly, they'll go to the same
so
party.
So Mackie is your adversary? Your most dangerous?
Yeah, dangerous. Yeah.
Dangerous?
Yeah.
Wow. Dangerous.
Yeah.
He's living it up in Ireland right now.
I know.
Going to see bands play at restaurants and giving video reviews on Twitter.
Yeah, I've seen that. It's actually good stuff at postgazette.com. And Dan, I'm glad you're here because my math skills aren't great, but we figured out amongst the three of us back when Bob was in the flesh here, Paul Skenes needs to pitch 4 innings of shutout ball at minimum. Mm-hmm. If he's going to complete an inning, it needs to be 4 to get that ERA back under 2, which is a rare, rare feat in recent baseball history and even overall baseball history.
I would like to make a note that I have gone into Baseball Reference to check the calculator. It's actually 3 1/3 that he needs.
That's why
officially.
I said full innings limits, 4. Yeah. So yeah. Thank you. 3 1/3 officially.
You're welcome.
So if he completes a 4th inning of shutout ball, Dan, do you take him out?
Yeah, I would.
Or do you leave it up to him?
I take him out because I think precedent has been set in the past with guys that are batting titles, right? We have seen.
I'm sorry, I'm laughing because the image we're putting out to YouTube of you and Bob together
what about
in the seat is just phenomenal. Just phenomenal stuff. But I interrupted. I apologize.
So, yeah, I would pull him. I know that a lot of people probably would turn their nose up at that. You know, it's a personal accolade. It should never come at the expense of blah, 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 get off my lawn sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But precedent has been there for a long time. So if somebody, you know, they're charting the batting champion race, that's always been a thing. And if such and such has, you know, one more hit, you know, he surpasses so-and-so, there have been times where someone has been leading the league in hitting.
Yeah.
And if they went 0-for-4, they would lose it. If they just stayed put and didn't play, they're guaranteed to win it. And that's happened as well. So by doing what you're suggesting or asking and me saying yes to that, that is by no means something that is like unprecedented in the game of baseball.
Right. Would you make the decision for him, though? Would you say, listen, I want you to have this?
I think it's probably a collaborative decision going in. Like, the conversation that you and I are having is something that I'm sure the Pirates are very much aware of. Don Kelly's very much aware of that. Paul Skeens is probably very much aware of that. And whichever way they go, and I don't know which way they would go, but I would think that there's some form of group discussion about it all, how to handle it, what does it mean, if anything, to the individual, to the organization, and I'm sure that they have arrived at something predetermined. I would guess. I don't know.
So he's also 10-10 and looking to have a winning record.
Sure.
He could become, I believe, the first starting pitcher ever to have a losing record and win the Cy Young. The Cy Young is a foregone conclusion at this point, right?
I would think so.
Even if he loses tonight?
I would think so because of the injury in Philadelphia, yes.
Yeah. All right, then let's move on to another topic, and that is Don Kelly.
Mm.
And you referenced Ben Cherington from the other day, sort of leaving things unsolved or leaving a door open that it could go either way. Do we have that limits or no? We can just reference it if you don't.
Yeah, I mean, the full question and answer, I think Noah Hyle Saturday. I know a lot of folks are preoccupied, obviously. It was kind of a big football weekend, but there was a lot of news and a lot of stuff discussed in a near 30-minute conversation with reporters. Cherington, his own security, Noah of the Post-Gazette asked directly about Don Kelly's security, and this was, to me, a surprising answer.
Have you had any conversations about the idea of having Donnie return in that role next year?
Well, we talk all the time, and obviously it's a topic on all of our minds, and certainly on my mind as we get to the end of the season. I do think we'll get to the end of the season so that we can, you know, have a full assessment, and then all attention will turn to that, you know, I think very quickly. My view of the job that Donnie's done is one that's not surprising to me. He's, you know, had confidence that when he took the job in May that he would do a really good job. He's an excellent communicator. He's dogged in his approach to the job. He has a high self-belief. He believes in people. I've said before, he believes, you know, he cares about other people more than he cares about himself. He's got a lot of really, really, really strong qualities for the job, and I've seen that play out. I've been particularly impressed by his willingness to go after some really hard things, too, consistent with what we both agree we need to do better and more consistently to win more games. And, of course, you expect a manager to do that, but it's not easy when you don't have the full mandate of the permanent job to do that, and he's done it anyway. And I've been particularly impressed by that.
What are you hearing there?
I didn't hear yes.
Right.
I didn't hear most likely. That's our plan for all intents and purposes. It's more so what I didn't hear. The fact that, you know, he basically punted in the very early portions of that answer. We're going to wait until the end of the year to just leave it wide open. And then towards the end of the answer, one thing that really surprised me, because the Pirates, when they sent their press release out with the managerial change on May 9th, they appointed Don Kelly as the manager, not the interim manager. But this particular answer almost contradicts his position while putting the title of manager on him when Ben basically said, and I quote, without having the full mandate of the position, well, that is by definition an interim manager. So what we were led to believe, I think, and I don't know if this is intentionally misleading, I'm not suggesting that, but it was very unique in that, well, an interim manager almost, or interim coach, almost always takes, when there's a midseason change, the job and the duties to the end of that particular season. And they're called the interim coach or the interim manager. Well, when you don't put that tag or that label on a particular individual, that signifies a vote of confidence that they are there with some permanence that would suggest beyond that season, because otherwise it's an interim manager.
Could it be that Cherington doesn't think that he has the cachet right now to talk about that because he might not be back?
Well, he was asked, I think, a few questions later about his own security, and he mentioned that he's moving forward as if he has the job, and he has, and I quote, heard nothing to the contrary.
Have you?
I have heard that there's been reports that he feels good, and he has shared with others that he is returning for 2026. Now, what does that mean in the mind of Bob Nutting?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I think Neil Huntington at the end of 2019, just going on past history, that's what, yeah. You know, as we're talking about behavior patterns and decision-making, Huntington was allowed to fire and begin a managerial search and interview of Derek Shelton, and then he changed his mind. So I think at the end of 2019, Neil Huntington probably felt that he had the full mandate of the position, and something changed, and that includes the mind of the owner and the decision-maker. So just because somebody feels something right now here on September 24th doesn't necessarily mean that the owner, who can obviously change his mind, will feel differently on October 24th. That's why it's such a tough read. You can be told one thing in 1 month, and then when you're basically working at the whim of someone, they can change their mind. So I think that very much could be on the table, despite what we're hearing, that I'm hearing, that he's returning for 2026.
Dan Zangrilli, you know him from Pirate Pre, Pirate Post, all things Pirates. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. All right, then, based on everything you know and everything you think, give me a percent chance on Cherington coming back and Kelly coming back?
Based on...
separately.
Yeah, I would say Cherington at 65%, and it sounds like Kelly's at about 40% based on that answer. Now, that answer was given when Don Kelly was 10 games under 500 as Pirates manager. He's now 7 games under 500. With what Cherington said at the very beginning of that answer, they're going to wait for the full length of the schedule to play out, which at the time there would have been... 8 games remaining.
Yeah.
Is 8 games going to sway you one way or the other? Apparently so, or that was just, again, kicking the can down the road. I think, ideally, if Cherington has his way and he's fully empowered, we just have to work with that assumption to have this conversation right now. My guess is, since he's not tied down, it sounds like, to Don Kelly, he probably wants to see what the options are, if there are any changes among other teams, if anybody becomes open, and if, you know, the next Terry Francona wants to come out of retirement and then that option is available to you, he probably is just trying to push this finish line back so he has as many options as he can. Not that he doesn't like Don Kelly or doesn't think that he would be a good manager in 2026, yeah. But hey, if a much more attractive candidate appears in your lap, well, if I have the flexibility to go there, well, I want to take that avenue if I can, which I don't know, you know, if we think that Don Kelly's done a good job, bad job, average job, is he owed anything? Does he deserve anything for what he's done? I don't know. In some cases, yes, but your record is what your record is. So what's Don Kelly owed for 2025 and his efforts here in a tough situation? I don't know. Does that mean an extra year? No, it's a very pivotal year for the Pirates. They needed to win yesterday, not tomorrow.
Right. I'm actually shocked at that number that you gave, 40% in your opinion on Kelly coming back. Are you surprised by that?
And listen, before hearing that answer, I'm sorry, Austin, yep. I don't mean to intercept here. Before that answer, I would have said 80%.
before Charrington's answer.
100%. Yeah. I was expecting a much different answer, a stronger vote of confidence. I really was.
Yeah, no.
So I was. Were you surprised by that answer? I was. To me, that's newsworthy.
I think you're always sort of handcuffed in that position to feel like you can speak freely, especially when your job might be on the line. But from what you're saying, Charrington thinks he's coming back. But from also what you said, so did Huntington. I don't think that Charrington maybe necessarily feels, like he has total freedom to. If he feels like he wants Kelly back, to say, oh yeah, he's coming back for sure, or I want Don Kelly to come back, I think he feels like maybe he would have been overstepping his bounds there with the owner.
That's all
fair. Because he himself is in jeopardy. If he is.
Yeah, a lot of questions in a lot of different ways that you could take the interpretation of that answer and the situations at large in both the manager and the GM. There's been very little clarity given, and perhaps we'll find out more in a week or so. Hopefully there's some sort of end-of-year press conference. Hopefully the owner addresses this big elephant in the room with some form or fashion of direction, whether that is the president, Travis Williams, whether it's nutting directly. But for us to be sitting here and the fans to be kind of flapping in the breeze as to, what's going on with their team.
Right.
That's we're as confused as anybody sitting here trying to decipher all of the codes here that, who has the full mandate to do what? There's one guy. And based on past history, he holds those cards extremely close to the vest.
Listen, I'm not over there. I'm not really connected with people in the higher ends of the organization. But the vibe that I get around Don Kelly is that he's really become a well-liked and respected figure over there. I just didn't expect to hear that. Limits, what do you think of that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised based on what Charrington said, mainly, Dan, because when has Ben Charrington come out and given a real answer and not about 50 seconds of dodging around the question at times? Mm. I feel like that's partially what this was. He'll give you something, but he won't give you fully the answer to what the question is.
Right.
I think a lot of it has to do with, is Charrington back? And when is that decision ultimately made? Kelly, I was also right around like 80% thinking that he'd be back. But at the same time, that's contingent on, is there a new general manager that wants his guy in there? Like, I don't think that it should be a package deal with Kelly coming off 1 year like it was with Dubas coming in with Sullivan, who had won two Stanley Cups with the Penguins. I think it's a different situation.
And whatever we think, and maybe whatever happens, or even what happens 1 week after the season, that doesn't necessarily mean something else can change 6 weeks later.
Right.
Again, I'm going back to 2019 as the blueprint. We've seen Nutting basically do this one time in his tenure, and that was the sweeping changes that started with the manager, the morning of the season finale, and then the general manager had to make that fire, address the media, was asked about his own job security, and if memory serves, he answered similarly, and he was under the pretense that he was in position to build the team for 2020. Well, again, he was allowed to even begin a managerial search for Hurdle's replacement. And then at some point, what the factors were, was it an epiphany that he woke up out of bed one morning, put his feet on the floor, and Bob Nutting said, no, enough's enough. I need an entire change. And then Huntington, followed by Coonley, he decided to clear house altogether. So that is the blueprint of how he's done and handled situations in the past. Can we learn from that? Does that mean what he's going to do that again here, second time around? I don't know, but it just leads for further confusion and no real pattern of behavior.
Well, Dan, that was interesting stuff. I appreciate the time, and it should be a fascinating ball game tonight. What a pitching matchup, huh?
It might be the best of the year, and I want to see. Obviously, Hunter Green is coming off a complete game, one-hit shutout for the Reds.
Yeah.
That place is going to be juiced. Will Skeens then rise to the level and the occasion here? It's going to be a playoff atmosphere. First time we're really going to see Paul Skeens in a similar or a situation that is anything similar to what he experienced at LSU postseason. So much at stake. So hopefully his game rises to the next level, and we'll see some really must-watch stuff tonight.
Well, it feels like if they ask Skeens if he's locked in a battle with Hunter Green, that he's not going to want to come out of any game. Although I'll say I wouldn't blame him if he did, because as you mentioned, somebody locks up a batting title or something like that. That they're alive, and the game doesn't really mean anything for the Pirates. It means something big to the Reds. But I just get the feeling that he wouldn't want to come out after four or five innings if he's pitching great.
Well, and they're also factoring in innings workload. There's a lot that goes into it, so that's going to play a factor as well. And I'm sure that. And who knows if this will be his final start of the year, because he could conceivably throw on Sunday against the Braves. But last time he pitched on a Tuesday, was scheduled to go for a Sunday. He didn't on the last homestand. So this could be it for him, whether that's predetermined four innings, five innings, whether the ERA thing factors in. It's probably all fluid.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Dan Zangrilli, hear him on pregame. It should be a great matchup tonight. I am really looking forward to watching that game.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Aaron Rodgers has spoken today and asked what he's looking forward to most on this trip to Ireland. Brooke Pryor tweets his answer was Guinness. It's his favorite beer.
I'm looking at a clip right now that Jeff just posted. You can check it out on our social channels at 93.7 The Fan on Twitter and on Facebook and Instagram. And there's a clip of Mike Tomlin standing behind Cassidy Wood, standing right next to my guy Riley Holsinger, I went to Waynesburg with, while Rodgers gives that answer, that
he was
Guinness
in my class.
Is his favorite beer.
Yeah, Guinness
Riley
is
was
his
in
favorite
your class.
Beer.
Yeah, yeah, he's a good man.
Guinness on tap is my favorite beer in the world, says Rodgers. Great answer.
And there's Tomlin watching right next to the Erie News Now camera, and he gives a little look to the camera guy. That's funny.
And Brooke Pryor also reports Rodgers, who was linked to the Vikings throughout free agency, reiterated today that things, quote, never progressed beyond catch-up conversations, meaning they were catching up, not conversations about catch-up limits.
Oh, I mean, this is a very popular area to talk about catch-up, though.
With Kevin O'Connell, who said he's been friends with O'Connell since 2008. Do you think the Vikings wish that they had pursued it harder?
I do.
Do you think Rodgers wishes he was maybe on the Vikings?
Yeah, that's a better roster. That division is also better given the Burrow injury now. I mean, hindsight's obviously 20/20, but I mean, if I was Rodgers and I'm in the current moment, I would rather be on the Vikings, especially with an offensive coach, too. I imagine he'd take Kevin O'Connell over Artie, even though him and Artie had a pre-existing relationship.
Well, here's what I know, or at least what I think I know, and that is just what Tomlin said yesterday, that the Vikings are more of a threat with Carson Wentz than they were with J.J. McCarthy.
I believe it.
I think Tomlin was right there. Like, he wasn't blowing smoke or diverting anything. He was right. Having said that, you don't trust Carson Wentz, do you?
No. No, not really.
This guy could implode. This guy, last time we saw him as a regular in the NFL, was a turnover machine. I think he had 15, or was it 9 interceptions and 6 fumbles? So 15 turnovers, basically, in something like 9 games for Washington, the last time he started any appreciable number of games.
Who do you trust more, or maybe who do you trust less, Carson Wentz with Kevin O'Connell, or the way that the Steelers' defense is currently playing?
Good question, but I think that if the Steelers can find a way to get to him, they're going to get the football a few more times. I do believe that. Now, that may work both ways, right? Because Brian Flores is probably going to find his way, his guys, into a couple turnovers. I think the Vikings are rightfully favored here by 2.5 points, but something tells me that this is going to be a... I just don't trust Carson. Neither does anybody else trust Carson Wentz. That's why he hasn't really been anybody's starter in 3 years or so.
One thing that is keeping me a little bit hesitant on picking this game right now, and I'm really back and forth on it, do you give any credence to it's the Steelers going to Ireland, what it means for the Rooney family, and all the emotional aspects
sure.
of this game? Because
sure.
I do. I think that weighs on.
Is this going to look like a Steeler home game? Do the Vikings, do they travel? Will they have a decent contingent there? Or is this going to look like Super Bowl 40 in Detroit, where I was in the building and it felt like it was 99% Steeler fans?
Yeah, I feel like Minnesota will have some fans there, whether it's a 75-25 type of split. That might end up being the case. Like, I've seen pictures of Steeler bars, Steeler pubs, I guess, in Ireland that have just flooded the streets with Steelers gear that some of the reporters are putting out there. I saw Nick Faribault was putting some stuff out there already about just the contingent of Steeler fans. There's a lot.
I see where Sister Jean is retiring from campus duties at Loyola. She's 106 limits. I'm not even sure I want to live that long. Now,
no?
She apparently has had pretty good health, at least, you know, her acuity is there. She's been in a wheelchair for a while. She seems just like a happy person, but 106? So what year was she born? Can you do the math on that?
That means that she would be born in
1918?
18, yes.
Or 1919. I mean,
well,
that is incredible.
2025 minus 106, 1919.
1919.
That's the year my grandfather was born.
That was the year Ron Cook started covering sports.
It was actually 1893 when he covered the Teal Allegheny first game.
Who invented, wasn't the first college football game ever played at Rutgers, I believe?
Yes, the birthplace of college football, they call it.
Yeah, I remember a lead one time Pitt lost there. I said, this is the site of the first college football game ever played, and thanks to Pitt on Saturday, the worst college football game. You like that lead, Lemons?
That's why you're the savvy old news hound.
That's why Riley Holsinger learned a lot from me in my writing class at Waynesburg.
That's why he is as successful as he is, because he took that class.
Nice
that's why
kid.
I am taking your class every day.
Very bright and friendly kid. Did you find that to be true? You remind me of him, and he reminds me of you. You guys are friends?
We are friends, yeah. I like Riley. He listens to the show a lot.
I'm heartened and happy to hear that. Hunter Green against Skeens tonight. I can't get my mind off this. They could deal a lethal blow practically to the Reds, because if the Mets win tonight, and Cincy loses, they fall two games back. They have the tiebreaker though.
They
Terry
do.
Francona has the tiebreaker. I'm just going to be riveted to this, and I'm going to be imagining what it would be like for Paul Skeens to play in a big game for the Pirates.
Oh, and the Mets play the Cubs tonight. So, I mean, that's a big series for New York, because the Cubs are obviously the number one wild card right now, and I think they still have some division aspirations. Milwaukee might have clinched actually already. But the Mets, I mean, after this, they play the Marlins. That should be a series that is favorable for them to be able to win that, even though Miami's played a little bit better as of late.
Yeah.
Cincinnati, their final series, they got to play over the weekend against the Brewers. So it's going to be a tough road for Cincinnati. If they lose this game to Skeens, then they have to go play Milwaukee.
They might
not get in.
It's going to be a great atmosphere, and it'll feel like a playoff game, at least for one of the teams. But if you're the other team, then you're immersed in that atmosphere too. I can't wait to watch Skeens tonight.
I'm dialed in.
And then I can't help but think about the future.
Yeah.
And what Zangrilli told us, were you as surprised as me that he thinks there's only a 40% chance that Don Kelly comes back? I think it's 95, but I don't know as much as him.
Well, I think it does really depend on the GM. Like, is it Bennington? If it is Charrington, then I think you're looking at probably right around your slot at 95, probably around that area, and they run it back. I don't want them to do that. Like, if they keep Kelly, I'd be fine with it. Charrington, you have to make a move. Like, seriously, we're going to grasp at straws, 20 games under 500. Oh, well, they finished the season a little bit better, beating Atlanta, who's terrible this year. Oh, well, they beat the Reds. No. Change something, please.
Wait, you want them to change managers?
I want them to change general managers.
Oh, yeah. So
and I would be okay if they changed managers. I like Don Kelly. I'd be okay if they brought him back, yeah. But I'm very curious to see what else is out there.
Maybe Charrington is too, and that was Dan's point. All right, Maurkice Pouncey, David DeCastro, among 13 players in their first year of eligibility, nominated as modern era candidates for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Now, there's still some Steelers who are backlogged here, who are on hold. Hines Ward, James Harrison, James Ferrier, among the 128 modern era candidates. Man, I'm still, and I've done this rant 1,000 times, angry that Hines Ward isn't in the Hall of Fame. Legitimately angry. He's one of the best all-around football players I've ever seen. Peter King, when he put together his all-time team of since King started covering football in like the mid-1980s or whatever, Hines Ward was one of his receivers.
Wow.
He's told me that he votes for Hines Ward. He said he unequivocally he's a Hall of Famer, the best blocking receiver I ever saw. And then people will tell you Hines doesn't have the numbers. Yes, he does. He has 1,000 catches, bunches of touchdowns, and he was a prolific postseason performer.
I mean, Super Bowl MVP.
He should be in the Hall of Fame, and I'm angry. What about James Ferrier? I think James Ferrier is one of the most underrated players that I've ever seen anywhere at any time. He was a great football player.
Yeah,
not good, great.
I feel like, did Ferrier have enough longevity? He's probably one of the main leaders in the Hall of Very,
I don't think
very
he
good.
He probably shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. I'm saying people who disregard him, cast him off without even thinking about it, are doing a disservice, they're not considering a guy. And again, it's based on who's in. James Ferrier played 230 games in the NFL limits. He is double figures in interceptions, forced fumbles, sacks, quarterback hits, tackles for loss. He's up around 100. Tackles, he's up around 1,500. Sacks, he's got 35.5, 12 forced fumbles, 11 interceptions. I did a study on that once. How many people are double figures in all those stats? Force fumbles, fumble recoveries, interceptions, and sacks. It's not a ton of guys.
No.
Do you know that, Limits?
No, it's really not a ton of guys at all. And, you know, I think that obviously Ferrier is probably somebody that got overshadowed by, you know, James Harrison and all the success that he had on that defense.
I'll tell you what else happened to him.
Troy.
For sure, I agree with you there. I'll tell you what else happened to James Ferrier. It's not that often that a defensive player of the year who had a long, prolific career like Ferrier did is not in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
I think of Randy Gradishar, for example, who I believe finally got in with like the veterans category. In 2004, James Ferrier barely missed, and only the great Ed Reed kept him from a defensive player of the year. Ed Reed had 20 votes. Ferrier had 14.
Wow.
That was a close vote, and Ferrier was spectacular that season.
Yeah, very close.
4 interceptions that year. Ed Reed had 9. That's the problem. Ed Reed was Ed Reed. Dwight Freeney was right behind those two guys, so Ferrier finished ahead of Dwight Freeney in a year where Freeney had 16 sacks, finished ahead of Ray Lewis, ahead of Julius Peppers. People knew how great James Ferrier was, and if he got that award that year, I think he might be in the Hall of Fame.
Could I add one more note in the final minute?
Please.
So I started watching the America's Team documentary on Netflix with Jerry Jones and the Cowboys, and oh my word.
Just
the first episode made me learn so much about Jerry and why Jerry Jones is the way that he is.
Or like him less?
Well, like him significantly less.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
Because, one, it's how he took over the Cowboys and basically said, yep, we'll push you to the curb, Tom Landry. Goodbye. Here comes Jimmy Johnson.
Well, you can't blame him for that.
I don't know. I agree with the move. The way he handled it was they called it the Saturday Evening Massacre, or the Saturday Afternoon Massacre was the name of like the actual episode. And Jerry was saying about it's all about the show. And that's what I see right now with the Cowboys. It's not about winning.
All
about the show.
Yes, but that's become the bigger motivation, it seems, for him. 50-minute mark on the Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. What's Cooking brought to you by your local GEICO rep, Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
Rainy today and a high of 72. Jerry Mullins, a low of 64. Edmund Nelson, fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Good night, Limits.
Good night, Joe.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.